Okay, this is an interesting one. The glamour of planning. You're sensitive to the plan. You feel there's a greater plan, but you're preoccupied with your own plans. Okay, this is a glamour. So you think, well, I'm going to do the great work someday, but I'm going to do this, my own stuff first. And then when I get my own stuff done, then I'll do the bigger thing. I've had a lot of people tell me that I've taught over the years, and then I never see them again. And they never get involved in spiritual work again. They are doing their own plans the rest of their life. If you sense a greater plan, you have to devote some time to that greater plan. You have to take care of the nuts and bolts of your own life. That's always something that you have to do. But a lot of people have the glamour of planning, where they have this urge to just plan and go on to more school and more career advancement. And then at the end they think, then I'm going to have this tremendous power to serve the will of God or the will of the masters or whatever. And they get so caught up in planning that they just disappear into the sunset and you never see them again. Okay. The glamour of spiritual dominance or control over others. That would be something that people that are teachers like me might be tempted with, is that to want control over other people, to bask in that control, the fact that people seem to be depending on you. Now, it can not only apply to me, it could apply to people in the group here as you're associating with your friends, teaching them, also with your children, with your loved ones, with your job. And you may get a charge out of having control and saying, telling people what to do and feeling that that's something important and necessary. It may be to a degree, but it's important that we not have a glamour over it, that we are not attached to the self-importance and not attached to the point that we feel isolated and separate from our brothers and sisters. The glamour of mystic vision and of psychic sensitivity. That's an interesting one. Do you ever meet people that say, man, I have this vision, let me tell you about it? And you get the sense that they feel like they're the chosen one type of thing, because they maybe have this vision, or maybe they have this psychic ability, that chosen one thing because of a spiritual experience is indeed a glamour that needs to be under control. The next one is an interesting one. The glamour of extreme sensitivity. How does the glamour come into play there, do you think?
The PC push today. You know, it's like everyone is offended over this or that, and people have made a career out of being the most sensitive.
Yeah, or how about just people that are sensitive emotionally? Maybe I say, maybe I say, use the word he, and he says, well, why did you ever use the word she?
Yeah.
What's your problem? You're sexist? Well. So some people are extra sensitive over small details, okay? This gives them a feeling of self-importance. I am politically correct and you are politically incorrect.
These are people who think the Redskins should change their name.
Chiefs.
They're sensitive about the name Redskins, you know.
Right.
They're sensitive that other
politically correct people fit in this category.
What's funny about that, they did a survey of American Indians, and 90% of American Indians didn't care.
Yeah.
But it's the liberal white guys that really care.
That's right.
I do have a question, though, because how much of the sensitivity is these souls that are coming in now? Because I have two children specifically who were born that way. From the moment they were born, they were more sensitive.
Or spiritually sensitive, you mean?
Or just, to all things, to noise.
Just emotionally sensitive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I struggle with that, especially with my Layla, trying to figure out how much of it is for her to be able to survive or survive socially, helping her to have a little bit of a more tough
skin. You can't really tell how emotionally mature they are until they're about 21.
Okay.
Because when you reach the age of 21, you reach the intelligence that you were in your past life.
Okay.
Yeah. And so at the age of 21, now look back when you were 6, 12, 13, how your emotions developed.
Uh-huh.
And think back to when you're 21 till now, and you probably haven't changed that much. You changed a little, but it's been a lot more gradual after you reach 21. Because that's when you regain all the basic intelligence that you had when you died from your past life.
Okay.
Yeah. And so with children, it's difficult to tell what they're going to be like when they're 21. And when they're 21, you can see more of what their soul qualities are.
Okay.
You know, you can see hints of it when they're children. But sometimes children are very emotional when they're young, and then they grow out of it, you know, because in past lives they've overcome it.
So what's the best option to go there from a mothering standpoint of, you know, helping them to learn how to not be so sensitive because it's obnoxious?
Are they sensitive to criticism or just highly emotional, or what's their problem?
All of the above.
All above?
So is it better just to love and accept and just teach her to accept herself, and then over time she'll grow whatever way she's going to?
Well, just show them. Maybe be emotional back in a way that's obnoxious to them. And say, this is the way you come across to me. Do you want me to be this way to you? And that's one thing I might do, you know.
Okay.
And try to give them lessons on it.
Yeah.
In a way that they can relate to.
Okay.
But don't go too crazy.
Before you go to the next one, I got a story about oversensitive. My oldest daughter, when she was about 9 months old or 6 months old, if you told her no, she would pucker up and just be devastated and make the cutest face, you know. So my wife and I told her no all the time because she was so cute.
You're so mean.
Evil parents.
You watch your breaking heart.
When the internet first started and I started participating in groups there, I thought, boy, this internet's going to be great. Because when you're talking to somebody in person, sometimes you say the wrong thing, you don't word it quite right, and they get upset. But the internet's going to be great because you can write stuff down and read it over and then change it if it doesn't look right. And then, so people should be a lot nicer to each other. That's probably about as wrong as I've ever been in my life. Because people think the opposite. They think, this person lives 2,000 miles away, there's no way he's going to come punch me in the nose, so I can say whatever I want. But, yeah, I was amazed how sensitive a lot of people are on the internet. You have to be really careful how you word stuff to them. Sometimes I have to have my wife read it over and make some corrections when I'm responding. Okay, The glamour of spiritual power, that kind of fits in with mystic vision. The glamour of idealism, we talked about that a little bit. Apt to sacrifice the spirit of love in order to preserve the form of your ideal. The glamour of propaganda and world illusion. Now there's a big glamour. In other words, we have world illusion, propaganda circulating like never before. And there's a glamour of taking a side, a politician we like, and then associating ourselves with his propaganda. And both sides are doing that with a lot of glamour. And they're, instead of dispelling it, instead of looking through and trying to see the politicians and the world propaganda for what it is. A lot of propaganda with climate change, for instance. For instance, they tell us if it gets warmer, it's global warming. If it gets cooler, it's global warming. If it stays the same, it's global warming. Now, is there something wrong with that? There's nothing the weather can do that will not verify that there's global warming.
Hey, JJ, I just got this thought pop in my head.
Yeah.
Isn't Facebook really creating a lot of people with glamour?
Well, it's not all glamour. It's, you know, there's different motives involved. The internet allows people to have their own little world, and some people are so attached to their own little world that they want a lot of praise out there for themselves. And other people just do it to have fun and may not be glamour at all. They just may enjoy being there. Maybe a waste of time to some extent. But it's funny how it hooks you. When I start scrolling down, I think I'm just going to read one or two. And then,
right.
Boy, this is an interesting video. Oh, what's next? And it's hooks you after a while. I never spent much time on Facebook until I started posting quotes there. And then when I go back and see how many's read my quotes and I or like my quotes, and I start scrolling down, and it's
you start getting hooked and you start liking other people, and they got quite an operation there.
I got to admit, but yeah, it's, some people you can tell they're really into glamour on Facebook, and some people are just doing it to be entertained. And there's all kinds of different motives for the people being there. So we can't say that everybody on Facebook is there because of the glamour. Some of them are, and some of them aren't.
Yeah.